Spoilers and Fandom is like a book club for geeky stuff.
Join us as we delve into the depths of our backlogs and sift through the games, comics, shows, movies, and books that we haven't checked out yet.
Hey everyone, welcome to Spoilers and Fandom episode 7. Today the audio is a little different. We're recording at Between the Lines. And we're talking about John Carpenter's Tales of Science Fiction Vortex, which is a mouthful.
Yeah.
And we're joined today by... let's start with you.
Zane from Between the Lines, yeah.
Zahid from Between the Lines as well.
No relation. Yep.
Not related at all.
Yeah, and...
And Hilary, yeah.
Yeah, so two new guests, which is the first, I guess, for us. Anyway, so... Did you guys read this book?
Well, I got through about six issues.
Six issues, yeah. They're eight in total.
Yeah, I finished all of them.
You finished it?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I finished it as well.
Okay, me too. So, first of all, why is there a reason you didn't finish the book? Like, yeah, was the pacing weird?
No, the pacing was good actually. I would have finished it. I just got sidetracked on one at one point and just didn't go back to it.
Nah, fair enough.
But it was actually really gripping. Yeah. Even when you called me, you were like, how much have you done? And it was in the morning. I woke up at like, I think 10 a.m. And by noon, I'd finished those six issues.
Yeah, like even for me, remember when you asked him, I think I'd only done four issues. Then I cleared the next six in one sitting. Yeah.
And you?
Yeah, I did about an hour and a half, give or take, this morning.
The whole bloody thing, all eight issues.
I'm not one of those that can appreciate the art as much as others, so I tend to flip through the speech bubbles quite quickly.
How the hell?
Wait, so you just read through them?
Read through them. To be honest, the only time I paused was the baby thing, so I'm just... I was like, did I miss something?
Okay,
he's
so...
He's a bit of a speed reader, to be fair.
Okay. I speed read quite.
Yeah. Wow. So what did you all think?
Well, I mean, we were
generally without spoilers.
Without spoilers?
Yeah.
Well, it feels like a John Carpenter thing. Like just the overall, the atmosphere and the story, kind of you can tell it's John Carpenter.
Yeah, like for me, the whole feel of it. Okay, if you're a fan of Alien, not Alien. If you're a fan of The Thing, this story is right up your street. Everything is there. That's the whole John Carpenter feel. And if you're to describe it again by the same whatever, it's The Thing meets Alien. That's it.
I think the first thing I thought when I was reading it was The Thing as well.
Yeah.
There's also, it has some similarities to a David Who up episode, for those of you.
David Who?
David Who?
Doctor Who! Doctor Who! Doctor Who! Doctor Who! David Whom? Doctor Who.
Dr. David Who.
An episode that's very similar involving a landing on Mars.
The Waters
of Mars. That's the episode name, isn't it? Waters of Mars.
It's a Christmas special.
I found the whole thing to be like a B-movie science fiction thing.
Exactly.
Yes. That's the thing.
I've never watched The Thing, so...
Oh, dude. Kurt Russell?
But it was very much like Alien.
Spoilers.
I swear I've watched like episodes of Centurions. That was the same as this as well, if you remember that show.
Such a good show.
Yeah, I swear this was there.
But so. even one of the characters in this had that Kurt Russell look, like the dude...
Dolph?
Dolph.
Yeah. Anderson. Dolph Anderson.
That chick was very Ripley as well, the French chick.
Yes, sure.
She was very Ripley.
Chiron.
Okay, let's talk about the plot, right? The basic plot, without spoilers, is it's like way in the future, there's like an asteroid that's being mined, and something messed up happened involving some kind of alien life, and this rescue team has gone in to go check that out. That's as much as I can say without spoilers. But yeah, what did you think overall of the plot?
It wasn't like groundbreaking in any way, to be honest.
Yeah.
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 But it's still
Would you
fun.
Call it predictable?
To an extent.
In the beginning. The beginning is kind of predictable. But then now it takes a hard turn at some point. Again,
we'll go into that. Yeah, we'll go into that.
When the
later,
baby shows up, it takes a hard left until...
See, I haven't got to
I'm so
bit.
Confused about the baby.
The baby thing is,
what are you talking about?
Wait, we'll tell
me later.
Okay, but for me personally, I think it started off as this kind of slow progressive horror type of thing where things were... slowly unveiling, and then suddenly just there was like a ramping up of the speed of the story, like things were just happening all over the place, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, so my issue with this, like, it was the pacing. You know, like, so what they'd keep doing is they have these weird flashbacks without transition.
Yeah.
And it's, like, just in the middle of nowhere, which it's super jarring. I kept thinking, like, did I miss something? Like, especially in between issues as well. I know the first three issues had, like, a preview of the next issue.
Yeah.
So you knew what was coming next. But, like, onwards from that, like, it was completely random with what is going on. Like, it felt completely random. I'm like, how did they get from... We left them here, and now how are they here? Is this another flashback? Is the question I kept asking.
Yeah, I agree. It's also the beginning when they were introducing characters, just even right at the beginning. They went, they flipped through three different scenes trying to introduce, like, 10, 15 characters, and you're like, we're going to get mixed up on these if you introduce them so fast without any context on who these people are.
Yes, yep.
Like, they had the mining team, the research team, and the base team, and you're like...
And again, the whole thing with their names changing all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Bear being Stokowski. And, you know, Sharon being Anne at one point, and...
Willow being...
I still don't understand where that... the second kind of insurance team guy comes from. Like, he was just dropped in so randomly.
Well, we'll get into that. So that would be, yeah.
Like, again, no spoilers, but just out of nowhere, this guy rocks up with, like, state-of-the-art equipment.
Completely random. Like, and even the doctors and stuff, like, they feel so randomly there.
They're,
like,
randomly placed, yeah.
The, what's her name? I forgot the other chick's name. The counselor chick. The psychologist chick. Like, they all feel...
The nerdy chick?
The nerdy chick.
Yeah.
Like, they all feel, like, really random. Like,
but it's even that guy, the guy you're talking about, I can't remember his name.
I can't remember his name at all.
His character was really weird, because he started off as, I do have authority because I have...
Yeah.
Whatever, I'm the assistant of whatever. And then when he gets to the site, he acts like he's the biggest badass in the universe that's just been through a whole bunch of action movies.
Right.
And then they keep talking about him as a glorified insurance salesman or something, and you're like... Which one is he?
Yeah. It's like, we'll get into that. Yeah. But
it's probably tough in 8 issues, though, to build.
To compress
it. It felt like a lot more big story compressed.
Like, this is why it felt like a B-movie, though. Yeah. Like, all these characters are just so random. And, like, the stuff that you see in the flashbacks are not even for, like, the main characters.
They're for side characters.
Side guys. Yeah. Except for that, like, the trial, I guess.
Like, Bear.
Bear
had, like, such little screen time, but he was given a flashback, and you're like...
I haven't seen Bear's flashback, but I was really gutted when he, like, you know...
It's in the first issue.
We didn't even get this. We didn't even see it, dude. We didn't even see it, so it's fine.
No! It sucked.
It was off screen.
Okay, so what do you guys think of the art?
I liked
it. That was...
I really dug the art.
There was one kind of set of panels that really, like, stood out for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was in the first issue as well.
Yeah.
It was the eye, like, when she was being thingied. Yeah. That was one of my favorite bits, because there was so much kind of realism. Yeah, in her expression, I was like, damn, that must have taken, like, a few hours just to do that one panel.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm super surprised that you just flipped through the book in, like, hours.
It's like I said, for me, I'm one of those, that's why I struggle to read comics, is because I know that a lot of people appreciate each panel and how it's drawn.
Yeah.
And I kind of just look at it and go, that's okay, that's a scene, that's a setting, this is what he's saying, move on.
But things must jump out at some point.
Sometimes, if they're really, like, that, the baby scene,
we'll get to that.
When everything is just pink, when about a whole bunch of panels are just pink with the thing, like, that was out of there.
Yeah.
It just stood out.
Pink is... In the first issue, the way they did the lighting in space and, like, the asteroid and that kind of stuff, that for me was really good. But I thought that kind of dropped... Later on, unless you got those big page spreads of, like, the station and whatever is going on, I actually thought the art got less interesting
as the
story went on. Yeah,
actually, you know, we haven't.
And also,
said...
the detail, the weird details were really cool. Like, in the first issue, you can read, like, all the stuff that's written on the desks and stuff. Like, there was a company name, I thought, on one of the monitors, but it's just, like, Monitor A, or, you know, like, written on the thing. I'm like, wow, that's That's detail. Actually, that was really weird.
Where we've reached now, we still technically haven't given like a summary of what the story is.
No, so basically, the rescue team goes in to see what's up, uh-huh. and things go wrong. I can't really. Should we just go into spoilers? It's hard to talk.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about this thing
beyond that.
It's not a lot of spoiler because it is, like you say, quite predictable. So
yeah, it's basically the story is essentially one of those things where a person gets infected with this alien thing.
Don't go too much.
But it's just a classic idea of how do you stop them? How far do they get? Yeah. It's basically just that.
It's not the most groundbreaking story. But if you don't want spoilers. Then stop listening now, go read the book, and then listen to the rest of the episode, because we're going to go into that now. Okay? Or should we give our rating before we go into that?
Yes, I think we should.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Out of... What is our rating?
10? Out of 10.
Out of 10. Yeah. It depends on who's there, right? How would you rate this?
Out of 7.
How would you rate this?
Can we come in here?
No, feel free.
Okay.
I'd say... As a
plot-wise
and things, I'm not sure.
Thank you.
Pretty.
But as a whole, like, would you recommend this book?
I would recommend it, yeah, because it's quick. It's a quick read, right? Like, it's only 8 issues.
Yeah.
So I would say yeah, go for it. But then again, I would recommend things like The Thing for people to watch.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
Same vein. So I'd maybe give it on that balance, maybe 7.5, 8.
Yeah. For me, I'd also give it about a 7.5, 8.
I'd say 7 to 7.5. Only because of the baby thing.
Give like a 6.
It just came out of nowhere.
I give a 6. Yeah, 7, yeah. But I've given worse, so hey.
I'll say it felt like more of it would really work well as a video game.
But I think as a movie.
Dead Space style kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it could work, because they set the atmosphere really well, at the beginning at least.
Like if it was Resident Evil-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like fixed camera angles.
Well, since
I was Monroe,
I know spoilers?
Yeah, okay. So let's go into spoilers again.
The part that really felt like it detracted as we went along is when they started off. They tried to build up this idea of this guy's got this master plan of slowly just infiltrating this thing and just trying to do it really slowly. And then at some point, it just twisted and went, we're just going to throw out the sneaky stuff out of the way
The pacing just changes.
Just a twitch, like a flip. At some point, and you're like. Guns. Now we're just picking guns, shooting things, and running away, and tentacles.
Okay, so let's go through the whole story, right?
Yeah.
So after this accident happens at the asteroid, the rescue team goes in. They find a survivor, and
they bring him back to base.
And two of their crewmates get killed by tentacles.
They get killed by the survivor as well. By him, right? He explodes. Detonates whatever.
Yeah, he detonates. Yeah, he also, the survivor blows up the atmospheric dome or whatever. And so a few of them manage to get away and they go back to the station and it's like, oh, what happened? You were the rescue team, blah, blah, blah. And there's like a lot of suspicion and this other guy gets called in, which is now the guy that you guys are.
There was that communication between the character Sinclair and the main character.
It's in
my suit.
They think it might be something alive, but they still don't believe it. And so they call in a guy who handles like the insurance or the HR, HR dude for this mining company.
A bureaucrat.
He says that he happens to be just on vacation or something. Or
On Mars.
Downtime.
No worries. And so once he calls this guy in, this guy exerts his authority and is all like, oh, I'm like a big thing and I outrank you, command, like the commander of the space station and stuff.
And I've even got my grunts.
And so he basically sets up the same team along with the survivor they got because the stories aren't adding up. And they go back to the asteroid where they find out that, what happened? They find one of the original members from the rescue team still alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they...
This is your Willow...
Sinclair, right. And they bring... Basically, what happens, they're trying to retrieve data from, like, the computers over there to try... Which, I don't know why they didn't... The rescue team didn't try and do that in the first place.
I think the priority was trying to get the guys.
Find the survivors,
find
I guess,
the survivors,
yeah.
Find out what happened.
Yeah. And so,
and plus,
while they're
even
there...
the second time when they went back there, the first survivor guy, what's his name again?
Yeah, well, yeah, don't forget...
He was
kind of
like...
They didn't know the layout. There was very much a...
Yeah.
So he was the one who kind of was not leading them where he wanted them to go.
Yeah. And so while they're there, they discover more, like, alien things... Like, the more tentacle stuff, they're getting weird readings of, like, a life form. It's very tentacle. they all look like tentacles with eyeballs and stuff. It's weird. Is that the way the thing is?
Yeah, that's how the thing is.
The thing is basically that. So in the thing, this entity comes in and it takes over the form of the person.
Of the colonists.
Yeah.
They're in Antarctica.
They're on an isolated space ice station in Antarctica.
Yeah.
So this thing takes over their
appearance. Physical appearance.
Basically exactly like it is in this.
Yeah.
And it is like there's one point where there's the dogs and the guy switches on the lights and you see all these kind
tendrils
flying
things.
Around and things. So
wow.
This is why I said it's got
it's very the thing. And you should watch, okay, also for the listeners, you should watch the new thing, then watch the old thing.
There are two things?
We should mention.
I don't think I've seen the new thing. Which one was the new thing?
It came out, like, if not in the 2010s, it came out in late 2000s.
Just if we're not going off topic.
No.
I can't remember. What's that chick's name?
So they remade, oh, okay.
It wasn't really a remake. It was like, one leads to the other. This was a Research Station 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sequel, because they left it quite open.
Yeah, I remember how the first one ended with a dog running away.
Yeah.
Well,
they definitely left it open.
Yeah.
We should mention that before they actually go back with a new team.
I was going to say that
the guy, his name is Dahl Anderson.
Yeah.
He
has an interaction with a counselor. And the art that they use to show it is super creepy, like with his mouth expanded.
It's expanded. So,
oh, God.
So that bit in the lift.
Yeah.
So we obviously know something has happened to poor, just randomly introduced nerdy chick that just got introduced.
Yeah. I think that, so the way they do that with the art is amazing, especially like those creepy
moments,
creepy, weird, distorted face moments.
Okay, this is going to also take us off topic a bit. But that scene, when you realize what this guy is doing, it made me remember this game called Marathon. Forget Marathon. It wasn't like Marathon. It's more like System Shock. Because in System Shock, what happens is there's this like super organism that's made by these guys who are controlled. So they call themselves the Many. So they assimilate guys into it. So, like, as this chick, now the way she was assimilated by this guy with those new cells and this new tentacleness, she was cool with it.
Yeah,
and even in System Shock, the Many they try and woo you to join them.
Yeah.
So you'll be fighting them, but they'll be like, join us.
Bodies, even like Prey. Prey is also the kind of with the mimics and the. Biting people's faces off.
So if you're into this body horror kind of stuff.
Yeah, there is plenty. Oh, it is creepy.
But then I think this is that moment is when I felt like the pacing just changed. Is that moment when, with the spacesuits, when the tentacles are in the spacesuits, the abandoned spacesuits.
Yeah.
And one of the grunts gets pickaxed from behind.
So basically with the second team, everything goes wrong and stuff has already started going wrong back on the station. As well, because of the aliens' influence and blah blah blah. That's basically the story, and the aliens trying to get back to Earth to also infect Earth.
More people.
That's the basic gist.
What I didn't understand at all was why there was a storyline that gave that. Who is the main?
You mean the Copenhagen
Copenhagen disaster made no sense in the context of.
Yeah, it didn't add anything except you know. About, like, the only thing that added was this guy is the hero of the show.
Yeah.
Well, the hero of the book.
Yeah.
And he does what's necessary.
But
he's
trying to explain.
There was also but there's also the dynamic, apparently, between the head of the station and him. Because her husband or something.
Her husband and her family
were killed.
But he saved her child.
But we don't know what happened with that.
No.
Basically, so... that whole bit, I think this is the only baby I remember, right? The baby in that flashback is from... No, oh god.
Because he gets handed the baby by Will, by Sinclair randomly in that pink scene.
No, that's not Sinclair. Separate.
So yeah, it keeps going back and forth between like flashback and current time, and there's no transition in between. Yeah. So what I got from that was this chick's kid was saved by what's his face? The hero of the
I love the fact that none of us remember his name.
Let's just say this way. Personally, for me, that baby came out of nowhere and it didn't even play a role in the damn thing, and it was just there.
It was there to amp up the tension, and screwed with the space station commander's ethics. I will save my baby and I will not sacrifice.
But it still didn't make sense that they showed you the entire Copenhagen scenario. That could have all been a story. It could have just been in dialogue.
Why did we were already told about the trial. Why did we have to see it?
Exactly.
Like with him meeting Sinclair.
It was the same with Sharon.
Sharon was interesting. Why was she in jail?
That's the story we all want to know. They explained it. They did explain it.
I don't remember that.
It was she apparently had gone through the ring to grab a bunch of mail because apparently she didn't have mail. And she didn't have mail, so
she's got a heart of gold.
You know, and apparently
she doesn't seem to have a maverick. She doesn't have any chip on her shoulder about the fact that she was in the brig. So she's just called out of the brig. She's flying this mission, and there's no beef. I want to do it.
They're just trying to set up that she was just a cool badass.
Yeah, she is a badass.
She was actually probably the favorite character.
Yeah. Me too. She's very nicely drawn as well.
I don't know. I like the main guy, even if I don't remember his name. I root for the guy who's the obvious bad guy.
Anderson. I liked, by the way.
Yeah, because I actually wanted him to take over the station. Legit. I hoped he was in the baby.
You hoped he was in the baby?
Yes. Yeah. I honestly hoped
because he was the baby came out of nowhere, so you wanted to.
How do we know he didn't form that baby out of just.
So, but here's the thing.
The sequel.
I haven't reached the part where he's taken over everything. He takes over a bunch of people, 95% of it. He's gotten to the doctor on the station and cured him of his cancer.
At this point, I'm going,
he corrupts the doctor. Nothing bad about this.
No, so not that yet. Doctor gets corrupted. Yeah. Slowly, his mind gets corrupted. And because now the doctor is there, it turns out that he's actually operating now that counseling chick is like a remote connection
for whoever
gets infected in that place.
Okay.
And so now the doctor's been experimenting with like different cadavers and that kind of thing. So he even takes over one of the cadavers as well. So that thing is like a walking skeleton.
That was his cancer.
Yeah, but it's on a skeleton. It was on a skeleton,
He added it.
Yeah.
Because he collected the cancer. He said, what's it? Anderson will be angry if I leave this behind.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she picked it up and then walked out.
But here's the thing. Do you remember that he had that notebook? Addison had the notebook of
what his thoughts, this is
what the remote control is. He had a thing.
Yeah.
When the main character shows him this at the end, he says, "You think you're in control, or you have thing over it.
Yeah.
But look at what you've actually written,
and all that stuff right at the end.
Kill me, kill it.
Yeah. And he's like, I didn't write that. Do you think he did though?
I did.
Or maybe it was you saying
the main character. What if the main hero just wrote that shit in?
While on the run. I've got to mess with his mind a little bit.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
That would be so good.
So he gets that guy's cancer, attaches it to like a cadaver with random additional cells, makes a cocktail of some guy who looks a hell of a lot like Nemesis from Resident Evil.
My favorite Resident Evil villain, by the way.
So he was complaining at that point because it's like he used the doctor and she didn't work out. He used this other guy and he didn't work out. So it's like he wants to keep all his remote bodies, he wants to keep them stupid now. So like I think Sinclair. That's also setting him up for like more of a zombie-ish army.
You guys are talking about Sharon being the badass. Come on, Sinclair was a badass.
No, Sinclair was taken over, but what purpose did she really serve?
She didn't really serve any purpose.
Yeah.
No, I think it was an attempt to see what happens. I think if they, you put like combined everyone's knowledge into her and seeing if she could Yeah, be controlled just, and whatever, but just,
she wasn't self-aware, basically. Yeah. He made her independent.
He made her independent.
And she wasn't self-aware. And
she turned on them.
Yeah.
And sacrificed herself and gave her baby, which still sticks.
I still think that baby is like...
Do you know what? I have a feeling what they were trying to go for is maybe something like that Copenhagen incident is actually the cause of the alien that it maybe came out of that.
No, that's too deep for this.
Shit.
This one was just in the asteroid.
Yeah.
Let's just assume that baby we just materialized out of nowhere.
Although, like, now, another issue I had was, like, the writing is... It's kind of meh. Like, it almost feels like they literally just drew the panels and filled them in with context.
Okay.
With the speech and the dialogue. Like, it felt very... Very B-movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really captivating, the dialogue, for me, at least. I didn't find it very captivating.
Yeah, it was pretty basic.
Yeah. Like, the most captivating person is actually the bad guy.
Yeah.
But I suspect that's down to the John Carpenter angle, because I think most of his stuff is that way.
Yeah. Is that way.
There's also stuff that didn't make sense, like when they were on the ship, when they're trying to get back to the station, when they were getting chased by Anderson.
Yeah.
And then the ship rammed into it, and yet the next scene they were on back on the station, and... I was like, but I thought this ship just rammed into them. How did they manage to get control of it and fly back? Like,
they ejected stuff.
Yeah, they jettisoned stuff out and reattached stuff. Yeah, they reattached.
But that was basically like it ran into the main ship. Like, what did they jettison to get back?
Wait, which part are you talking about? Because there's a lot of ship
running. It was a ship that they were trying to escape on, and they're like, okay, we can either lure this thing, the grunt tentacle dude. We can either lure him into the canister at the bottom.
Yeah.
But then Anderson takes the canister at the bottom and then goes back to the
station. So what they did with that guy is they left that guy on the ship. Anderson blew up the main bridge where Captain Insurance Guy and the pilot was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he blew up the bridge.
He died.
They both died.
Yeah, he depressurized and they all died.
One died in space very nicely. These guys jettisoned the part of the escape pod that they were in, okay, and attached it now to the bridge part, the bridge that was blown off.
Yeah,
right. That's what happened.
Because you can do that just.
Well, we don't know. Yeah, they didn't go into that detail. Like, we don't know. Kind of explain, the hyperspace thing is called the Rift and it uses gates from Mass Effect. But they never went into detail.
To be telling you that. I also felt the same way when they were escaping on the station. Like, at times, I couldn't understand how they were escaping at times or how they were being attacked. It was just all so, like...
Or just how the lifts work. Yeah, like, that guy got killed for what? Like, I have to hold a circuit?
Yeah, his hand came off, and I'm like, wait, was that in the previous scene where he got cut off? But I didn't see a hand there. What's the deal here?
Like, for me, the thing that bugged me was how does the bad guy get jammed in an airlock and not be able to reach the guy on the other side of the room?
He had the whole extended hand thing.
Yeah, he had the whole extended hand thing. This whole thing is about, like, tentacles.
Yeah.
You should be able to grow, like, 50 of them at will.
I also don't understand how any of them died. Like, we're talking about Bear's tentacle version died instantly by getting shot. Yeah. The grunts basically couldn't be killed until he got jettisoned.
Yeah.
The main bad guy couldn't be killed no matter what. I don't know when they died or how they couldn't die.
Some were burnt alive. Like, that worked. Like, burning them worked.
And when he apparently crushed that one's the nerdy chick's tentacle form in the head, Anderson crushes her head.
It's enough.
And he just kills it by crushing her head. And I'm like, I don't understand how you kill these things. Can they be... Like,
and then there's the liquid version of that person. There was that liquefied chick
right at the beginning.
Yeah.
No, like halfway through. Like when they show the cancer guy.
Yeah, when he's taken. The counselor looks. I forgot the counselor's name, man. Yeah.
She's like,
a very horrific body horror kind of moment. I'm like,
when she's lying on the bed she's like, I'm feeling a little unwell.
Yeah. And then she like,
That looked like it came from Parasite, the anime.
If you're a fan of any of those things that we've mentioned, you'll be okay. You'll be cool with this. You'll like this.
Yeah. Well, so you'd recommend it?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's. I think it could do with it. Could do, the thing is it could do. It felt like it was a big story that was compressed And then they went through halfway and then realized, oh no, we have to actually finish this in 4 issues.
Yeah.
Let's just compress the rest of the 90% of the story
into this 4 issues. It did feel like that, yeah. Like the pacing did take a
nice time. I think it would actually make, like I said, a very good video game.
No, that's like just Dead Bases.
I'd rather a movie.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know. I get where he's going with the game thing.
Yeah.
But I'd want more of the asteroid stuff. I want more of the discovery.
Yeah, because
that's why I mean something like Dead Space, where you're just dropped on this asteroid
and you figure it out.
Atmosphere is happening, yeah. And it's just kind of everything's happening around you,
yeah.
And you're slowly piecing together this puzzle.
Yeah.
Whereas with a movie, you'd end up basically with a very similar thing
to the thing,
in an hour and a half, similar kind of pacing problems where you can't really build a backstory, you can't really do anything, you'd just be dropped into
everything. Well, what happened here was the equivalent of like Mass Effect, if they just went, these are the mass relays. Just ignore the backstory for them. No, ignore the story for them. It looks cool, but we're just not going to talk about it.
And this is what our entire story is based on.
And even the tech, like, they have some insane tech.
Those little...
And it just doesn't make sense.
You mean the shooting, when they were shooting?
They magically make the atmosphere on the asteroid from this guy's ship, like...
Yes, and the terrapins, the little robots put everything together.
And then the guy's like... the guy's like,
yeah, that would be cool.
And then the guy's like, oh, are we going to be safe after they just blew up the last station? The guy's like... Grunt A, I can't remember his name. Grunt A with a gun. The guy just shoots up into the air, and it's like nothing's happened. And it's like, oh, it just absorbs the kinetic energy and turns it into like into power.
But that's what I mean by he came in with like state of the art.
Yeah, like why didn't they have this before then? Like, well, why are they using something for like?
How do you have to hold the circuit together on the lift? It doesn't make like these things don't make sense. This is a Suge moment. One is
not like the other.
Yes.
Or even when the doctor knew that he had been like he was gonna get attacked, and he's right next to the door, and you're like, you know, you can just like get out.
Yeah.
Like you can, you're not like a far away from the door. You're literally right next to it. Just get out and lock the door.
It was very. And he even makes a comment like. This isn't like some B-movie horror movie where we get to... And then later, 2 pages later, let's go do that thing that I just said we won't do. Let's go do that. Yeah.
When that guy comes and they all go down and they're like, we're not going to split up. We're going to go together and we're going to come back together. But the rescue team early in the comic both split up into two teams and one into the dark area and they got killed. And you're like, well, what? You weren't going to do the whole splitting up and getting killed thing now? Because it happened.
Oh, what was your favorite moment, like panels in this book?
Like I said, for me, it was when Sinclair was being absorbed. That was definitely one of my favorite bits.
When Sinclair was being absorbed.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Like end of the first book, where it's just like it's in my suit, and then you just see her eye, and you see this
thing. Oh yeah,
that's what you get.
Tastes like chicken.
What about you?
The pink panels.
The pink panels.
just because it was so different from everything else, and I spent like about 10 minutes just looking at it, trying to go, I can't tell what's going on here.
Yeah.
And the context, and then I kind of figured out what they were trying to do, because they were trying to do this thing where it's shaky.
Yeah.
Shaky cam almost, but in like artistic form.
Yeah.
It was just trippy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There was one other bit that I thought was really, really cool and kind of amusing. So the little terrapin robots, when he was trying to send one like a hard line down,
yeah.
And that robot gets killed, and the other robot on his way back sees this,
picks up the line,
and it just picks up. So you see this kind of, I don't know why, but I got this impression that it had this expression on his face, like, why is this guy dead over here? And then it picks up the line and just goes up.
Yeah, I was like, what is the point of this panel? What am I missing?
Yeah.
I kept thinking I'm missing something here.
At least we know the robots are autonomous.
Yeah. What about you?
The lift bit where you see his face like all.
Oh, I thought it was the hand sticking the hand in.
That too. I don't know why. I like that.
Oh, the
image.
Hand in the mouth.
No, the hand. The hand into the socket. So you could.
The hand socket is the one
that he got offended by.
For me, I liked that bit in the lift where his face goes all wonky, and at the end where they have the whole standoff, where he's caught in the airlock.
Yeah.
And he can't quite reach the guy on the other end. Again, this was like Aliens.
This is your Alien.
Yeah, yeah, this is again like Aliens. I don't know. Those are the two bits that stuck out for me.
I think for me it would be the gore scenes are really cool. You know, like those bits where the tentacles come out of someone's eyeballs.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that was so cool. The way they do Anderson's creep factor was really cool.
Yeah.
I'm actually not a horror fan. But I think in comics, I really enjoy it. Because I'm noticing more and more, the more comics I really, really like are like the insanely disturbing horror.
Because you picked Survival last time.
And my favorite panels in that were like the creepy ass moments. Yeah. They're so cool.
Like Grunté getting his eyes just...
No, like, you know, like, you get these panels in some books where you have, like, a shadow just barely illuminating someone's face, and you see, like, the glimmer of, like, really sharp teeth. Like,
that kind of stuff is...
I really like those panels. In this, it was the way they show this guy's face when the counselor is like, oh, yeah, how are you doing? I'd love to chat with you. And she can't see the guy. You can as the viewer, and you're seeing his face, like,
open up. Yeah, yeah, that's pretty.
I was like, am I seeing this right? Is this like a reflection on like a doorknob? No, this is actually what's going on. I'm like, oh,
it's like classic horror films. They used to do a lot of that, right? They used to do a lot of, if you weren't careful in watching it, you wouldn't notice the small details they put like in the background of stuff.
I can't do horror, I guess, because of the sound. I don't like things being quiet and then suddenly being loud for no bloody reason. I hate it.
Most horror movies.
So comics, yeah, I can do.
Yeah, yeah, nowadays it's jump scares.
Most horror things these days rely a lot on jump scares.
Yeah, always quiet moment. You know, like
which is why it's not that I don't like horror movies, but I find them kind of boring because of that.
Yeah.
It's a trope. Yeah.
Whereas, what is it? The remake of It. I think they did a freaking great job.
Fantastic.
They did a really great job. I thought, I mean, it trailed off at the end, just like the original movie.
The problem for It was just that It himself is not a...
No, he acted was fantastic.
No, but I mean, he himself isn't just he's just not the best horror character that like, becomes scary.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not watching it. I'll read it.
Watch It.
Nope.
You know what?
Watch it.
It's not a sudden loud thing kind of thing. It's they build atmosphere around a really creepy kind of thing. So, for example, right at the beginning of the movie, it's obviously 5 minutes in, clown is in the drain, and he's just having a conversation with the kid, and it's not even a scary conversation. He's like, when you go to the fairground, what do you smell? Cotton candy, popcorn. It's all so lighthearted, but the way he's saying it.
It's
this guy
creepy.
Modulates his voice almost Joker-like. Like it's kind of like a deep and then high, and then it messes with it a bit. So this, you feel this kind of tension building, and then when it kind of the switch flips, it's not just loud music or anything. You literally go, "What the f- just happened?"
Yeah.
And then later on,
I should watch.
Yeah,
this.
Later
no, watch
on,
it. For
later on,
like,
when they're in the houses or when he starts scaring the kids, dude, it is freaky.
Yeah.
Like they do a really good creep factor.
And then the thing I liked the most about that was, even in this, I think they have a bit of it because
they try stuff like, guys, there's a noise down there. Like, work in comics as well. It really doesn't, but they do it.
But jump scares are lazy writing. It's lazy horror writing. It is.
It's
like a cheap shot.
Yeah, I don't like jump scares. Just because of the noise, like it's always. The sound, like, I hate that shit.
It should be something that you can give you a chill.
Yeah,
something that ramps up.
It's palpable feeling in the atmosphere of the movie. Like you're supposed to feel like the person's there, but they're not just in your face, like jumping up randomly. They're not behind every. They might be behind every curtain, but you don't know. Going back to this thing, do you remember Grunt B, the lady?
Yeah.
When she's like, I'm going to get vengeance for my partner who died. Screw you. And then she goes to the armory, picks up a bigger, badass gun like in all these other movies.
Yeah.
And then gets disemboweled straight away.
She's basically the... that scene was cool with her like guts like pouring out. Oh, that was so good.
And then she just ends with a classic line of, oh, fuck you.
Yeah, this is basically the Predator. The Predator dude as a chick is basically...
Yes.
What that was.
Exactly.
That whole scene was just that.
You're like, you didn't even get to use that gun. I don't know what it was. Was it a shotgun? Was it a flamethrower? What was it? We don't know.
I love how we're referencing this movie by all the... I mean, this comic by all the movies.
It could genuinely be described as
Predator.
Alien meets The Thing meets Doctor Who.
It's a very generic...
Predator.
Yeah,
meets
just Predator. But this is my problem. Like, it's kind of super generic. Like, even cartoons have had this.
Yeah.
Like,
it is 100% generic.
I nailed that on John Carpenter's influence.
Yeah.
Because it's based on John Carpenter's stuff.
Yeah.
It's when you look at all this stuff, The Thing, Ghosts of Mars,
yeah.
things like that. There is this whole, there is a pattern of people getting possessed, changing forms, and kind of there's always infiltration, so you never know who's on whose side, that kind of thing. It's very much his MO with the horror stuff that he writes. So you expect it when it's got John Carpenter written on it.
Okay.
It's just cool that it's set in like
it's a different set
in space. Yeah.
You know, personally, I find this more just generic sci-fi than horror.
Than horror.
Yes.
Yeah.
It goes. I mean, it starts at that kind of tense horror-ish bit. Then it switches.
They could have maintained it. Like he could have maintained it if the guy had got back to this thing and started things like messing up with the power, taking out people one by one, that sort of stuff. But instead, he just went, let's just create an army of these things and just go slicing people.
Yeah, and I'm going to save the world.
I'm going to go back to Earth and create a research paper.
Like I'm kind of hoping the baby is infected now that you mentioned. Like I really am.
Because the baby showed up from nowhere and it was given by Willow, by Sinclair, to the guy.
That baby is the monster.
Like in that pink scene, she saves him and says, "You're not going to take it," and then she hands him. Chief, take this bundle of wrapping stuff, and then it turns out to be a baby. And this happens to be the chief station's baby that's supposed to have been killed. Where did that come from?
I gotta finish the last couple of issues.
I'm so confused.
Get to that. I think it's the...
No, I have read the whole thing. Like, it's just I didn't read the whole thing. Like, for all the flashback moments, I'm like, I get to the main...
I didn't feel like a flashback. It was when they were escaping from the grunt tentacle guy.
Do these monthly John Carpenter things intersect in any way? Do you know that?
No, the first three had nothing to do with this. Imagine it's like The Outer Limits, where everything is kind of on its own.
I felt like that as well. I'm like, was there are we meant to know these characters from a previous thing?
No.
No, it's not that I feel way. I'm just like, it'd be nice if they led into each other. Well, if they had a kind of almost a crossover
kind of situation.
Yeah.
Because
I felt bad for Bear. Like, he was misused, man.
Well, yeah.
Oh, he was Spetsnaz. He's a badass Russian. He didn't get screen time, man. He might have been like red shirt character who just gets jettisoned in the first. Poor guy.
In any case, so you'd recommend it?
Would you?
If you have a lot of free time.
But you read it in an hour.
A couple of hours. Yeah,
yeah, but that's because that I do that with everything. I don't know, because I feel like it was a mix of really good at the beginning, and then it was not very nice towards the end. It was generic action. I didn't really like that.
What about you?
I think I'd recommend it, but mostly because it's short, you can just kind of gun through it, and it does kind of pull you in at the beginning.
Yeah.
And once you're pulled in, you're like, well, I may as well finish it.
Yeah.
Even when the tone changes a little. You still kind of like, okay, well, it's only another issue, another two issues. I might as well finish it.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty short. And it's you could read a lot worse, to be honest.
No, it's not.
There's a lot worse you could be reading. Like, it's not bad. The art is really...
It's really good.
Really good.
Yeah, if you're going to read for that, that's a good reason, actually.
I'd say read for the art and the gore.
We were speaking about horrors earlier, and we said, like, a good horror leaves you also when you finish whatever you're watching.
Mm-hmm.
It feels that lingering kind of fear. Like, I never used to think of Jaws as a horror, but you know that kind of thing where you don't want to go in the water anymore.
Yeah.
Or The Grudge, which had the whole under the blanket thing.
Let's not start that.
The problem is, this could have been that at the beginning. Well, could have, if it was. Yeah. Could have. But then it turned into a generic action where the tentacle people were not scary. They were just...
Yeah, it just became like a slasher. Almost like a slasher-y kind of situation.
So that's the problem.
Yeah. Anyways.
So recommendations.
Yeah. So, yeah, go read this, I guess.
So that's our verdict. Read it for the art.
Yeah, read it for the art. next time, it's my pick, and we're doing a TV show.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about this before, actually. Have you? No. It has to be a show that is... So the whole thing is, it's something on our backlog that we have not touched.
And I've already watched Castlevania, too.
So have I.
I haven't seen season 2 yet.
Oh, you shouldn't.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
But for the next one...
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen... Okay, have you watched... Basically, I've narrowed it down to She-Ra, One Punch Man, and...
Please be Sabrina.
Sabrina. Okay, let's do Sabrina.
Let's do Sabrina.
Okay. The chilling adventures of Sabrina. The first season.
That's a lot, guys.
First season of Sabrina.
That's actually not so bad.
Yeah. 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. I saw the trailer and I was like...
No, I'm a fan.
But, of the new one.
No, I'm a fan of the old one.
I'm a fan.
So I'm curious to see what they've done.
If only you picked One Punch Man. Could have skipped all the homework. Because it's awesome.
No, Sabrina. Let's do Sabrina.
Wait, you haven't seen One Punch Man yet?
Okay, so
that's on the backlog. We'll add that now for another episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless I already watch it.
But you haven't seen it either.
I haven't seen it. Yeah.
So we'll save it.
We can save that for later. Sure. So if you want to join us on the next episode in 2 weeks, watch The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
It's on Netflix. So...
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah. You can get it or sl/ pirate it for whatever you know.
Netflix and chilling.
Netflix
and chilling.
That is painful.
Anyways, I'm Hell's Knight.
Zayn.
Sahid.
And Hillary.
Yeah, have fun.
Have fun, guys.
Do you have an opinion on what we just discussed? Did we miss something? Tell us in the comments section and we'll read it in the next episode. If you're listening on Anchor, send us a voice message and we'll add it to this episode. Don't forget to follow our podcast on Twitter, @SpoilFans, for updates. And follow our Instagram for behind-the-scenes action, @SpoilersAndFandom. Also, subscribe to us on YouTube and Anchor to get the latest episodes.